They're back. Sean O'Neill and Randy Weiser. Saving our America. I'm Brianna Ahern, usually keeping these biker bad boys corralled, but only as best as anyone can. But it's finally time to let them out. My guys, two of the hottest patriots since the founding rock stars of the 1770s, told the King of England just where to shove it.
I said what?
Here's Sean and Randy.
Thanks, Bree. Well, Randy, are you starting to thaw out up here in Tennessee finally?
Pretty much. It's been a real, we've talked about before, the Courier and Ives, remember those, you know, the snowy scenes at Christmas?
Yep.
It's been like that for 2 weeks up here. And, you know, we got a lot of snow. I think the last time we talked, we'd gotten a good bit of snow. And it stayed because we've been hovering around zero most nights, you know, or wind chill a bit below. Gwen told me it was the most snow she had seen since she lived as a little girl up in the Cleveland area, up in Ohio. And because, you know, you don't have that much snow down here, but it was, I kind of liked it. I mean, it looked like icing on a cake everywhere across the entire valley. The property, the trees were, it was really nice. Yeah. Our dog, he thought he liked it. He ran out into it, went, you know, crazy and running and came back, and I could just see him. He's shaking his paws loose of the snow, and he's looking at me like, dude, this is cold. And the house is warm. I think he's gotten used to the warm house, you know?
Yeah. But, well, you know, you mentioned Courier and Ives. I mean, those pictures you sent me, it kind of looked like it was a scene straight out of White Christmas up there. I mean, so.
Yeah. We ought to post those for everybody. I mean, it's on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
But we ought to do that on our Saving Our America page. I think people, I've gotten people that ask me about, because, you know, you and I talk about the weather and things up here or down in West Georgia where you're at and stuff like that. And it really is, it is really nice up here, especially because there are so few people.
Yeah.
You know, the snow stays intact. And I go out here and I say we haven't gone anywhere. We haven't had a reason to. We stash and, you know, we've got a year's supply of food and we got heat and all that. We have everything we need.
Yep.
Don't really want to go anywhere. And for a number of those days, the roads around here were pretty treacherous. You know, you'd get advisories on that. But you look at it once in a while and see where a few deer have been or something like that. And that's about it. And in fact, there were several days we didn't get any mail. And I thought, you know, what's that? Neither rain nor snow nor dark of night or whatever that phrase is.
Yeah,
that's bull. It got really bad. To be honest, a lot of the mail carriers around here are like a private contractor, you know, and they don't, they're not an employee necessarily of the weather service, the mail service. But so they're driving their own vehicle with the little mail thing on it.
Yeah.
And it got to where it was rough getting up the mountain. So, but I would have thought, I don't know, I'm sure they're driving these vehicles that are efficient, gas efficient. Mm-hmm. Well, those aren't always your best all-terrain alternative, you know?
Because because a Jeep gets about 12 miles to the gallon, where that little Subaru probably gets 36 miles to the gallon.
So there were a few days where we just didn't get any mail. Again, no great loss. I mean, it just meant less junk to put in the trash.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I know you said Baxter didn't, he didn't care for the snow and everything, but, you know, my German Shepherd, we had to make him come inside because he's just, he's got a coat made just designed for this kind of cold, and he loves it.
Oh, I tell you, Baxter would forget, and he'd go out and play in it a little bit. But here's the funny thing. He figured out pretty early, you know, where the snow starts on the deck or on the front porch. And I had taken down, before this all began, you know, I'd taken down our Christmas wreaths, and we do live tree, live wreaths and things like that. So we had the wreaths in the house and on the door and so forth. And I'd laid them out on the porch with the intent of taking them around to where I keep all that, because they're great fire starters in the big pit.
Yep.
You know, you just put them down there, light them up, and there you go. Well, I didn't pick them up, and the snow came in. Okay. And so about 2 or 3 feet from the front door on the front porch are these wreaths. Baxter figured out, hey, this is greenery. I'll just go here. And so he wouldn't go any further because, you know, at that point, it's snow out there deep. This is right by the front door. Run out, do your business, head back in, get a treat, snuggle up to mommy on the couch and get warm in front of the fireplace, you know.
Yeah, dogs are not as dumb as we think they are.
They're not. He had long figured out where the proper place was to go to get out of the snow.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But I like this kind of weather. I know it sounds silly to some people, but I really do.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because you come from one of the hottest parts of the country and you just love snow.
I tell you what, I got so tired of heat and humidity down on the coast of Texas. Every day in the summer, it was high of 97 with 97% humidity. You got to grow gills, man. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But I've always liked the mountains anyway. And and snow, our youngest had come up for the holidays, and she was talking about how she feels better sleeping up here. And I said, well, the air is crisp and clean.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a difference. But yeah, I do. I like this weather, and I like being out in it, and I've gotten kind of used to it. You know, I'd notice I'd, for a short period of time, go out and just flannel sleeves at 15 degrees, and if there's not a real breeze, you know, I get a few things done I need to do and go back in the house, warm up, you know.
Well, you know, I've lived in some of the coldest places on the planet, and you know, my employees that they think I'm crazy because I'll go out of my office and everybody else has got, you know, toboggans and scarves and, you know, heavy jackets, and I walk out there in my short sleeve polo shirt and go to the you know, to the other building over there, and they'd look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, well, this is just not that bad to me. So,
well, yeah, it's like Gwen, the morning I got up early and she walks and she sees me out on the deck.
Yeah.
Now, we've got, like I say, about several inches, maybe a foot of snow around here that's stayed, right, because of the weather. And she, you know, I kind of came back in. She's like, are you nuts? It's the thermometer. We got a little digital thermometer. It was showing 0 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, first of all, honey, I've got the patio heater on, right? And if you look around that little perimeter around the heater, the snow on the deck is gone. Okay. So it's heating up.
Oh, yeah.
I said, but I've got several layers on. And all she saw was I had gotten my robe, you know, you get out of the shower, get up in the middle of the night. I have a real thick, long, all the way to the floor robe.
Yeah.
And she just saw that. She thought I was out there in just that robe. I opened it up. And I said, I've got clothes on and it's layered and there's flannel shirts and there's even a coat or a jacket. Mm-hmm. And then the robe, because it goes all the way down, you know. And I said, and I even took a little fleece blanket off the couch and put it over my legs out there.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, you go to all that trouble just to be out in the cold? I said, yeah, a cigar, cup of coffee, the heater's going, and it's pretty. Yes, she doesn't get that. She does not get that at all.
No. I mean, sometimes you really, especially in the wintertime, because you don't get outside as much. You have to enjoy those times outside because I believe it's detrimental for the human body. No matter how good of a filtration system or air conditioner heating system you've got in your house, it's detrimental to the human body to sit inside a home and breathe that same recycled air over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. And It's refreshing to be outside.
Yes, it is. Enjoying God's nature and what he created. And I mean, it's awesome. So,
I mean, you know, you can get a little mask on or whatever, the ski mask or whatever. It's really that cold. But normally just a, you know, what I've got kind of pulled up around, you know, a winter cap on. I'm good. And it's just, I really enjoy it. And you're right. It gives you a perspective up here looking out over the valley. And it's beautiful because there are these wide swaths of farmland that are just covered in snow. And then there are these wide swaths of trees and forest that have the snow on the limbs. It is gorgeous.
Yep.
And to sit there in the morning and realize this is what the good Lord made for me to look at today.
Exactly.
It's wonderful. And it's crisp and clean. I love it. Yep.
Now
we're going to hear from people going, "You're crazy." You know that, right?
Yeah. And I guarantee it'll be most of the people will be from up north that have to see that kind of stuff every day from like November to April. You know, I mean, I could understand why you would get a little tired of that, seeing that every day from like November to April. I get that because I mean, I believe that seasonal affective disorder is a real thing. People do suffer from that. Now me, I love the cold. I love it because I don't let the cold keep me inside. If I got something I got to do, I'm going to go do it. You know what I mean? So,
that's me. I get out here because, you know, it kind of raises your endurance, I think, over time. You get used to it. You know, your body gets used to it. And, you know, you talk about it starting to warm up. You find myself rolling up these sleeves and we're only talking about the mid-40s, but after being around zero for 2 weeks, hey.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I was joking with some of my employees the other day. It's like, you know, we were talking about, you know, they were saying it felt like it was just hot when they walked. I said, well, when you go from 12 degrees to 41 degrees, that you know, that's like going from 30 to 60.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's gonna have an effect.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting frozen out. This primary season is starting off almost at the end of it. I mean, there's nobody left except Donald Trump and what, maybe Nikki. I don't know. Yeah. I don't see it. But DeSantis is out. Ramaswamy is out.
Yeah.
Tim Scott's out. I mean,
and they're all supporting Trump now.
Yeah, they're all endorsing Trump, and this has Democrats scared to death.
Yep.
Because the worst thing they can do is face a united front of a party like that.
And you know, there's a lot of people who see this stuff going on with Georgia prosecuting Trump and other states prosecuting Trump, and they're taking him off the ballot. They still have not grasped the concept, Randy, that all they're doing is making him more popular and martyring him every day.
That's the truth. You know, Fannie Willis and her
ilk.
Isn't that a joke?
Yeah,
that is a joke.
She's a joke. But she's a joke to the legal system.
She is. Yeah. She really is.
Yeah.
But all they have done, you're right, they've made him even more popular. They've made people decide, you know, if you don't want me to vote for him, there must be a reason you don't want me to vote for him.
Exactly.
And maybe the reason is we had the strongest economy and the best running country in the world just 4 years ago, and then Joe took over.
Well, you know, I'm going to show my nerd side here for a second, Randy, because it's kind of like when Darth Vader was facing Obi-Wan Kenobi. He said, "You may strike me down, but you're only going to make me more powerful."
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're doing.
He's going to waltz into the nomination. It's going to be a Republican National Convention after a cakewalk of primaries.
Yeah.
It's going to actually be kind of interesting to watch, I think. But the question really now is who gets to be the running mate?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of wondering about Tim Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope he plays that card to close to his vest up until the last second. Make them show that whoever the I know there's a short list of nominee possibilities, but I hope he, they need to have to earn that place as VP. You know what I mean?
Well, you think about it. He's not going to do a Mike Pence again. That's for sure.
No. He's not going to deal with any more swamp monsters like Mike Pence. That's why I kind of feel like Tim Scott may be, he may be better for like a Secretary of State or Secretary of Commerce or something, you know, along that line. Maybe Attorney General, something like that. You know what I mean?
But I tell you what wouldn't surprise me, and I know a lot of people don't agree with this. DeSantis himself is VP.
I can see that. I mean, because, you know, you and I've discussed Reagan and Bush. They kind of bickered all the way through the
same thing.
Yep. So
well, I covered that election, same exact thing, Reagan and Bush. You know, people talk about Ronald Reagan using that cliche voodoo economics.
Yep.
Well, Ronald Reagan didn't create that. That was created by George H.W. Bush talking about Ronald Reagan during the primaries.
Exactly.
And then Reagan turned it to his advantage. But yeah, they were primary opponents. But once they got locked on to that ticket, got their ducks in a row, mm-hmm. they were an unbeatable pair. And I think the same thing could happen with DeSantis. They're both alpha males.
Yes.
But if DeSantis is smart, what he'll do is realize he could go in as VP and be a very good VP. And then when Trump is done, DeSantis waltzes right into the Oval.
And you know what? With him as Trump's VP, they will have to think twice, maybe even three times about thinking about impeaching Trump, because they'd be like, well, if we impeach him, this one's coming right up behind him.
Yes. And that's the truth. You're right about that, because the Democrats fear DeSantis.
Yes. They fear him.
He's done a very good job in Florida. He has that state behind him. And I don't think Trump needs him for Florida, but no. I think that Trump could use him for his savvy and for his political clout.
Yeah. Well, now one person I believe is probably out of the running at all, no matter how she finishes this primary season, and that's Nikki Haley. I think if anything, he may put her in the cabinet, but she'll never be VP.
Nikki Haley, I don't believe she could effectively run the country, truly. But Nikki Haley is a good diplomat. She's proven that. And it might be, I would even see her as Secretary of State.
Because even with some of the baggage she's bringing in, you know, like nobody cares about who she's been accused of sleeping with as Secretary of State. Nobody cares about that.
For one thing, they're accusations, and for another, who cares as a Secretary of State? I mean, come on, you're right. Who cares?
Yeah. Now, if
DeSantis, Secretary of State, you can also, if you're the president, you can control that person.
Yeah. Now, dark horse, unless we have a dark horse candidate come in for the VP slot. Now, I could see DeSantis taking over as Secretary of Defense. Now, I could see that too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know.
Kristi Noem would be good.
Yeah.
My only fear is that she would be perceived as another Sarah Palin,
mm-hmm.
who I liked. I thought Sarah Palin was great, but they got too hung up on the fact that Sarah Palin was pretty, and they forgot the fact that she ran a state. Well, Kristi Noem runs a state. She does it very well, but she's also pretty. Okay, and so you're going to, you know, liberals, for all of their, you know, you're just voting for her because she's attractive.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's only because 95% of liberal women are ugly as homemade sin.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
You ever seen one of those things where they put conservative Republican women beside liberal leftist women?
Yeah.
It's not even a contest. We have got the best looking women in the world.
I mean, and I only need to use three examples to prove my point. Hillary Clinton, Chlamydia Harris, and Michael Obama.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's all I got to say. Go. So.
Oh my gosh, Michael Obama, that's great. I'm not so sure that's not.
You know, if that's not a man, that is probably one of the ugliest women I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is video of Barack accidentally saying Michael.
Yeah.
And correcting himself.
And that's where that came from. And, you know, I mean, libtards like them are nothing but fruit bats anyway, so it wouldn't surprise me if that was the truth. But we'll be right back.
This is our history.
You know, to just be grossly generalistic.
This is our America.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
Saving our America with Sean O'Neill and Randy Wiles.
I've been a musician most of my life, but recently I decided to add a new instrument to my musical knowledge. I don't do big box music stores, so I was happy when I found B2K Music in Carrollton. Their friendliness and selection won me over on my first visit, and they are now my official music supplier. The owners of B2K Music are America-loving patriots, and they do a lot to give back to their community. I was a customer of B2K long before they became an advertiser on Saving Our America. Stop by and check out their wide selection of guitars, amps, drums, and just about any accessory you need to go with it. They also provide instruction, instrument rental, and they can take care of all your repair and service needs as they are certified luthiers and musical electronic technicians. You can find them at 490 F Bankhead Highway in Carrollton. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, and Saturday, 11 to 4. Y'all stop by and see the folks at B2K Music. And tell them Sean O'Neill sent you.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans in your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast, helping to improve the lives of their fellow veterans through the VA Voluntary Services Program. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. If you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.org.
And we're back to the Saving America show. I am Sean O'Neill. Other side of the microphone is Randy Wiles.
Yeah, you know, Sean, I was down at the cigar shop I like to go to down in North Georgia just a couple weeks ago, and had a really nice visit with the Brothers of the Leaf. We always have a good time down there. And quite often I'll see Mike Myslinski there, but he wasn't there.
Mm.
And he wasn't there because he texted me. He was going to go by.
Mm-hmm.
He had another house closing.
He's a house selling machine, man. I'm telling you.
He is. I'm going to tell you what. In an economy such as this, which has been a little bit weak.
Yeah.
Mike knows how to do it. Now, he's a realtor.
Yep.
And, of course, realtors are far more trained and better tuned into their marketplaces, especially Mike, than just a real estate agent. You want a realtor. Mike handled the sale of our property in Georgia when we moved up here. Got us a lot more money than we expected. That doesn't happen all the time, but I've seen it happen with Mike quite a bit. He knows how to qualify people, how to get them in. He had that house sold in less than a week. I mean, you know, soup to nuts, seriously.
Yeah.
The longest period of time was waiting for the closing, you know?
And it's economies like this that separate the wheat from the chaff when it comes to real estate agents and realtors.
And one of his things is, aside from the fact he knows what he's doing in general, Mike also keeps the stress level down. Mm. He's got a great, you know, way of doing that. He's got a good demeanor. But he knows what to anticipate. There's always some kind of a little hinky somewhere. It just happens. And you're a little tense because, you know, this is probably your biggest investment. Mike knows how to anticipate. He knows how to fix it. He knows how to get you through. And if you're looking to buy a house, well, he knows what you're looking for because you told him. He doesn't try to offload a bunch of houses that are, you know, in the purview of the local real estate listings and stuff. He finds what you want and takes you there and shows you. Shows you how to do it, how to finance it, how to get through the paperwork, everything that you need from a realtor. That's Mike Myslinski. Now, if you want to contact him, you can go to social media. It's Ski Team Realtors is at SkiTeamGeorgia.com, SkiTeamGa.com, or put a Mike at in front of that, Mike at SkiTeamGa.com. Send him an email. Tell him what you're thinking about, even if you kind of don't know. You don't know really where to begin, or you don't know what you're looking for, or you don't know really the value of what you have. You have questions. Mike will give you the answers. He'll walk you through the entire process, and you'll come out on the other side with two things: a very satisfied transaction, and probably a very good friend after that. I know for a fact he'll give you a good cup of coffee. He is a coffee fanatic, so look forward to a good cup of coffee. Mike Myslinski at Ski Team Realtors, SkiTeamGa.com.
You know, Randy, I believe it was Sir Edmund Burke who said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. And, you know, that has never been more true than in our right now today, because we are fighting not just a battle of country versus country. We are fighting in a battle of war of principalities. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And well, we've been doing that since before the founding of the country, seriously.
Yeah, but it's, you know, as well as I do, it's accelerating every day. It's you know, what we think of as the norm now, people would just swoon and just fall out if they saw some of the stuff that goes on in our today world.
Well, I always go back to this. People say, oh, we've never been so divided. Really? Yeah. How about 1861?
Yeah.
I mean, and serious. And the same thing. Most people in 1861 really weren't overly concerned. They had a concern, but they weren't overly involved.
Yeah.
That is until the war broke out and they had family in it. Now they're involved and now they're concerned. But this day and time, I hear people saying all the time, oh, if this goes any worse, we'll have a civil war. Well, for one thing, I hope not. But for another, I don't really necessarily see that really happening, because what really brought on the Civil War were unleveled thinking people. Yeah. Everybody, people down south, people up north, president, newly elected president, all that. No one wanted to just sit down and discuss it. They said they did, but it wasn't the case. They did not. Mm-hmm. And that whole thing could have been, I think, avoided had they just done that. Had they just, I've said before, and it sounds like a joke, but it's not a joke. Whenever the issue of Fort Sumter came up, all right, Lincoln should have sent in a delegation, met with a delegation from the South, mm-hmm. right there on the shore, have the ladies make some fried chicken and apple pie and sweet taters and stuff. And let's all talk about this, guys. Mm-hmm. Let's all. And in fact, I think had they known what was going to happen, they probably would have said it'd be better if we discussed this a little further, you know?
Yeah.
For one thing, we can, those guys on that island out there, that fortress, they're going to starve, if, you know, so they're not going to be out there forever.
No.
But cooler heads did not prevail.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I would hope now. We would have cooler heads. But I'm also a realist.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm fully convinced that the left talks a good game when, because they're the first ones to start throwing out the term civil war right now.
Yeah.
But I think they talk a good game and they sell a lot of wolf tickets. But I think when the rubber meets the road, I don't think they want a civil war any more than you and I do, Randy. But, you know,
I don't even think they talk a good game. I think they just talk smack.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not even good smack. And they realize they don't want this, because let's be honest, We, the conservatives,
yeah,
we have all the guns, we have all the bullets.
Yeah.
And we know which bathroom to go to.
Yeah.
That can be a problem, you know? I mean, for some people.
Yeah.
And I'm joking about that, but not really, in that they don't really know what they want. They don't have a clue. Look, we were talking earlier about how united conservatives are behind Donald Trump right now. And have been.
Yeah.
To the point that other candidates, virtually all of them, have said, you know, I'm not going to run against him. And in fact, I'm going to endorse him. That doesn't happen unless you're the sitting president of the United States.
Yeah.
They're the ones that run unopposed. And it's rare when someone wants to challenge him. They stand united with their party, whoever's in power. Unlike right now, Donald Trump has the uniform support of conservatives. Joe Biden does not. No. There are people, a lot of people in that party who are begging him, don't run again, because he's too old. He has dementia.
Yeah.
He's not going to be able to carry this off. And as far as Kamala goes, they're going to have to find something. They're going to have to do something.
Yeah.
So this election, this is one of those where I think you're going to see virtually a revolution within the election, like we saw with Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. I mean, this is the only thing that I see is that they're putting out their narrative, and the only way their narrative goes across and it has the kind of meaning and power that they want it to is if we're passive, if all we do is sit around and don't become involved in it like we're supposed to.
Well, and I'm not seeing that.
Yeah.
You see, that's my thing here. It's like we were just discussing. People who may have normally been passive enough to think, oh, there are enough people to vote, I'm not too worried about it. They're not doing that. And what's the main reason? Their first reason is they should not have treated the president of the United States that way, and I'm going to support him.
Yeah.
That's the reason. Even if, I mean, you look, DeSantis, okay, DeSantis steps out. Now, Donald Trump and DeSantis, they were political enemies in a primary sense.
Yes.
But here is DeSantis endorsing Donald Trump. Here is Tim Scott endorsing Donald Trump. Here is Vivek Ramaswamy endorsing.
Yep.
These aren't just pulling out. They're endorsing now. Not even getting down to the Republican convention. They're endorsing now, as in everybody sees this. And like you said, these prosecutors have done nothing but make people behind Donald Trump unify even stronger. And likewise, on the other side of that whole thing, the Democrats, they're in total disarray.
I mean, you mentioned DeSantis. How many times have you seen a candidate like an alpha male candidate like DeSantis with one breath say, I'm dropping out of the race, and then with the second breath call out, hey, I'm going to throw all my weight behind the top candidate. You know what I mean?
Right. That's somebody who realizes that for the greater good, this is what needs to happen.
Exactly.
It needs to be a unified front. And when that happens, look, I am quite optimistic about the future, because Trump is going to win. We're going to get our country back. He's going to be able to fix things that Joe Biden screwed up.
Yes.
Or Joe Biden's people. Joe Biden wasn't aware and hasn't been aware.
No.
His strings are being pulled by Barack Obama, and Obama's strings are being pulled by George Soros.
Yes, absolutely. And folks have no doubt that the people that are behind Joe Biden, they believe, I mean, there's a survey just came out recently saying just this, saying that those elites, those leftist elites, believe that you and I, people like you and I that are listening to this show, they say we have too much freedom, Randy. There's no such thing as too much freedom. That's like saying my wife is too pretty, or I got too much money in my bank account. There's no such thing as too much freedom.
And look, Sean, when we talk about, we're not talking vague terms.
No.
Look at what the Biden administration has been pushing through the Fed to the banks. They want to know anytime you do a transaction at a place like Bass Pro Shop, Nick's Sporting Goods, or anytime you buy a Bible. Now, is that, it's not even a question. That's a violation of your First Amendment rights. And if you're in there to buy a gun, that's a violation of your Second Amendment rights. They have, in just one fell swoop, violated the First and Second Amendment rights of how many millions upon tens of millions? Well, virtually the whole country. Yeah. I'm not, it's not even limited to conservatives. If a liberal wants to buy a Bible, if an independent wants to buy a gun, whatever, they violated their rights by simply demanding banks turn over those records. It is not any of the government's damn business what kind of money you have, what kind of gun you own, what kind of Bible you read from. Nope. It is none of their business.
Well, you know, you mentioned that, and it's, we have a group of freshman lawmen, and it just brought this to mind. We have a group of freshman lawmakers that are in Washington, D.C., that have come up with some of the most leftist, anti-American ideas. They think that because we want to shut the borders down, they say, well, if you're going to shut the borders down, we just need to take down the Statue of Liberty. Statue of Liberty doesn't mean apparently what conservatives think it does, because how does that even those two thoughts even come together?
Let me tell you how a leftist thinks. First of all, they think in terms of propaganda usage.
Yeah.
Okay. What does it say at the Statue of Liberty? Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses.
Yeah.
So they take that as meaning that we don't want anyone coming in on the southern border at all. Yeah. No, that is not the case. And this is what liberals use as an argument. It's not the case.
Yeah.
I don't care if somebody wants to come to this country legally.
Yes.
Do it legally.
Yes.
If you're going to live here, be a productive citizen.
Yeah.
You keep the law legally. People coming over the border illegally, first of all, that's the first thing they've done is commit a crime right there.
Exactly.
Second, a good part of that number is illegal here, of illegal aliens here are here for nefarious activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're running drugs, human trafficking, whatever it is. I don't want those people here. Oh. I don't care if they came through New York Harbor. I don't want those people here.
Exactly. I saw some video on Facebook the other day of some guy down at the border who is confronting these illegal invaders down there. This guy was from Egypt, and he's like, well, you don't know my name. You're going to know my name soon enough. That sounds like a threat to me, doesn't that to you? I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like another 9/11 type
thing. If these people had a uniform and an emblem from their country, we would call them an invasion. That would be a military group.
Exactly.
Why we are not treating it as an invasion, I know why we're not. It's not an invasion to the Dems. The libtards look at it as a voter registration drive.
Exactly. Well, you know, thank God, Randy, that we've got governors like the governor of Texas that is saying, no, this is the line in the sand. We're not going to cross this, and we're done. We're done taking your garbage. So,
You know, you got the Texas Rangers. One of the first things the Texas Rangers had to do was border security.
Yep, yep.
I mean, they're expert at that.
Yep.
If I were president, I think I'd go down to the ranks of the Texas Rangers and find me somebody with some good experience specifically on border control and put him in charge of it nationally.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because, and I say him because I think it's just a guy that does that. There are some female agents. Great. I don't care. I don't care what gender it is. Whoever is the best at border control, hire them.
Exactly. I mean, you know, if it weren't for people like Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis and the governor of Texas, I mean, I really don't know where this country would be right now. I really don't.
Well, it would be, it'd be in a far worse shape than it's in now. There's no doubt.
I mean, I thank God that he's put these backstops in against this evil that is this administration, even though the guy who is the face of the administration hasn't run it since the day that he took the inauguration. But, you know, I am at the point, Randy, where we can no longer sit around passive anymore. We have got to get skin in the game, folks. This is not a joke. This is not an exercise. This is real life. If we want to keep America, we're going to have to get some skin in the game. We'll be right back.
This is our history.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
This is our America.
Ask what you can do for your country.
Saving Our America with Sean O'Neill and Randy Wiles.
I've been a musician most of my life, but recently I decided to add a new instrument to my musical knowledge. I don't do big box music stores, so I was happy when I found B2K Music in Carrollton. Their friendliness and selection won me over on my first visit, and they are now my official music supplier. The owners of B2K Music are America-loving patriots, and they do a lot to give back to their community. I was a customer of B2K long before they became an advertiser on Saving Our America. Stop by and check out their wide selection of guitars, amps, drums, and just about any accessory you need to go with it. They also provide instruction, instrument rental, and they can take care of all your repair and service needs as they are certified luthiers and musical electronic technicians. You can find them at 490 F Bankhead Highway in Carrollton. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, and Saturday, 11 to 4. Y'all stop by and see the folks at B2K Music.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans in your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast, helping to improve the lives of their fellow veterans through the VA Voluntary Services Program. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. If you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.org.
And we're back to the Saving Our America show. I am Sean O'Neill, and right to the other side of the microphone is Randy Wiles.
You know, Sean, we were telling everyone past few weeks what a great job everyone did by going and doing business with one of our fine sponsors, MyPillow, right?
Yep.
For a variety of reasons, aside from the fact that they make the best pillow in the world and some of the finest products, you know, the sleepwear, the bedding and towels and stuff. Aside from all that, they're a great company. They're a great American company. MyPillow's founder, Mike Lindell, a huge supporter of President Trump. And what we've been saying is they did great last year. They bought the stuff, and that was really great. And it's always good to support our sponsors. Now we need for you to come back and do something else. And this is not only for you and for us and MyPillow, but it's also for the president.
Yep.
When you go to MyPillow.com/SOA, now that's a page in their system they set up just for listeners of Saving Our America, you're going to see deep discounts right there. Buy something. I don't care what it is. Go through and buy one of everything. I don't care. Right now, it's important, and here's why. Because MyPillow and Mike Lindell and his good people are committed to supporting President Trump. So when you buy something at MyPillow, and keep in mind you're getting the finest product you can get made in America by Americans, you're not only giving yourself a great product, I mean a comfortable pillow or a really nice comfortable robe or slippers or towels or bedding or any of that stuff, not only are you benefiting, you're putting money into the coffers of a company that is putting their money where their mouth is. They are supporting President Trump. They're supporting anything that has to do with making America great again. If you want to have a direct effect on that, forget all of these politicians who are hooking you up or, oh, give me a dollar because somebody wants to beat me in an election. The hell with that.
Mm-hmm.
Go where you can do the most good. Go to MyPillow.com/SOA. Buy something. Buy as much as you want. Support a great American company. You will be supporting this president, Donald J. Trump. Now, if you don't like Donald Trump, fine. I'm not sure that you'd be listening to us if you didn't like Donald Trump. But if you want to stand behind Donald Trump and you want to stand behind an American company that supports conservative family values, then you need to go to MyPillow.com/SOA and do yourself a favor and get you something there that you really are looking forward to having.
You know, leftist activists, you know, they act like companies, major corporations, owe something to them and to the communities they serve. Like, you know, they're telling, we've got leftist liberals that are telling companies like Walgreens and Home Depot and Lowe's and people like that, that despite the fact that these people's constituents are robbing them blind, that they owe it to their community to keep their stores open. Since when did corporations begin to owe that kind of a debt to communities?
No, they don't. They look, it's the expression that we've seen in mm-hmm. the past few years come to fruition. Yep. You go woke, you go broke. You know, we were talking about Mike Lindell and MyPillow. Well, Bed Bath & Beyond didn't like Mike Lindell and MyPillow because, you know, they just didn't like that.
Yeah.
And they wanted to be all woke. They're bankrupt. They're bankrupt. I mean, Disney Corporation, they went all woke. They're just about there. They have lost more money than most companies make. Now, I mean, they're a big company and they have a lot of room in there, but companies don't like it when that quarter or that year doesn't turn out on a profit, and that's Disney. But what you're talking about here, this is the stupidity of leftists. Now, part of it is they have that socialist attitude that everyone should get something for nothing. We're all in this together. No, this is not how we built this country, and it's not how we built America to be the superpower that it is. I know for a fact the heads of Home Depot and Lowe's, for example. I think Walmart, but I know for a fact Lowe's and Home Depot. They went out west to California and Oregon and Washington, all these states that had started adopting a policy that they weren't going to prosecute unless something stolen was over, I think, $1,000 or something like that. So people would go into these stores and take $900 worth of stuff and walk out, knowing that no one was going to lift a finger. Well, these companies finally went to the governors and said, we're pulling out. We're pulling out of at least some of our stores. We cannot afford to do business. Yeah. It makes no sense to open the doors to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the leftist attitude is, well, you're cutting off all the jobs of those people there. Yeah. Yeah, you are. Now, the truth is some of these companies have tried to save some of those jobs, maybe moving those people to other units, other stores in the area that weren't losing money, weren't being subjected to such high crime. But you can't do that all the time. And you can't stay in business if you're going to, you know, just hemorrhage money. So this idea that, well, you need to stay open. Nobody needs to be in business. I worked young in my life. I worked at a men's clothing store down home.
Wow.
Very exclusive men's clothing store. And the man that owned it was an older man now. He's long since passed away. But he was an older man. That's how old he was. as a very young man in the business, he worked for James Cash Penny. I mean, this guy was older than God. I'm telling you, he was an old guy. He didn't live very long after I worked there. But he had built this business from way, way back. Okay? Now, he told us, he said, Mr. Penny would share, advice to his underlings. And one day he got us all together. We'd have a meeting once a week, Monday morning, before the doors open. And I remember one time he said, I don't want to ever hear any of you say to a customer, you have to do. Mm-hmm. And he goes, if they say, where do I go to get this and such? You take them personally to that associate and you thank them for coming in the store, because folks, they don't have to walk through those doors. Now that's business. That is business. And he had learned that from one of the best businessmen in the world.
Yep. I mean, my parents used to own a shoe store back in the 80s, late 70s and the 80s. And their motto was, they don't leave that store if they're not satisfied. Even if that meant sending them somewhere else to get their product, if that's what they really needed and we didn't have it, we would send them where they needed to go to find it. But they did, like, if a salesman would go to a person that walked in the door when they started, as soon as they asked for help or something, wanted to look at something, that particular salesman stayed with that person until they were done with their shopping experience, because they did not want that shopper to have to look and constantly be wondering where you're at. And, that was why my parents were so successful. And rarely did I ever see someone leave that store without a pair of shoes that they needed, because that's just, but people came there for that service. They came there for the service of people who know about shoes and know, well, I'm going to be on my feet all day long, but I have to wear, because of the company I work for, I have to wear this type of dress shoe. Well, they would take you to the most comfortable shoes and make sure that you were fit right. They would measure your feet. They would let you walk around in the store as long as you wanted to until you were satisfied those shoes were yours. And
yeah,
that is,
it was the same when I worked at that men's clothing store.
Yep.
Because we sold high-end suits, Art Schaffner and Marks and so forth, mm-hmm. to bankers, lawyers. Yep. And they taught me, as they did everyone there, how to develop a clientele. Mm-hmm. Here's how old this is. You had index cards.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And everybody had their little index card box. Mm-hmm. And when you got new product in, new shirts, new styles, designs, whatever, you get the index card and you'd call your client. Often you're talking to a secretary and let them know. The thus and such suits that Mr. So-and-so likes. We have a new style in case he has an opportunity. Have him come in and see me. And they would come see that individual salesperson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you developed a relationship. These were high-end suits, and they were buying them two, three at a time, mm-hmm. along with several shirts for each suit. Mm-hmm. And, well, you got to have a good tie or two for each one. Yep. And, well, maybe we need some shoes to go with that. And we're paid on commission, mm-hmm. so we were making bank. I tell you what, that was the period of time in my life when I funded my flying lessons, when I learned to fly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that can be expensive, but hey, you develop a clientele, but you did not have people coming in going, oh, well, you owe me this. You mm-hmm. need to stay open because
no.
No, that's not how it works.
I mean, liberals were libtards even back in the 80s, but not even they had the gall to come to tell business owners back then that you've got to keep your doors open because there has to be someone somewhere for these people to steal shoes from. No.
Yeah.
Because they would have laughed in their face.
Right.
I mean, but now we've got these liberals with what seems to have marbles running around in their head instead of brains that are telling companies like Walmart and Walgreens that you've got to stay in these leftist blue cities just so people have got somewhere to steal from, and the people who are actually buying stuff have to come. No, I don't have to do that. Like you said,
and it's never worked that way, Sean. Exactly. How many slum areas in this country have you been to where you've seen boarded up business after boarded up business mm-hmm. after boarded up business? Because you can't stay in business if you just open your doors to be have your products stolen from you.
Exactly. And since January of 2021, the number of those businesses that are going out of business because of this administration has grown exponentially.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, but you know,
the mom and pop businesses, they're the ones suffering the most.
Well, yeah. And you mentioned into these slum areas, there's a reason why these businesses and the ones that actually can stay open, which is most of the time is only like check cashing places and liquor stores. They all have bars on their windows and doors, and they have like push button doors to lock you in and out when you come in there because they don't want their stuff stolen. That's why they've all got guns behind the counter because they don't want to get robbed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Going to a pawn shop.
Yeah.
How many of those guys are packing?
Nearly every one of them, if not all of them.
That's right. That's right. Because look at the people that they sometimes will have to deal with.
Exactly.
You're talking about somebody who may be trying to fence stolen property mm-hmm. or somebody who's desperate for cash. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that can be a legitimate concern, or it can just be somebody who's strung out on drugs and just wants another hit. And they're willing to, they don't care what kind of risk they take. So they have to protect themselves.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned Bob Iger earlier, the CEO of Disney. You would think that he would overlook his idiotic leftist ideals when it started hitting him directly in the pocketbook. I mean, his actual salary last year went down from like $76 million down to $31 million. You'd think that if something starts hitting me in my pocketbook, I'm going to stop doing it.
Yeah, well... I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for a guy that went from $76 million to $31 million, but especially that's running a company that is nothing of what it used to be. Yeah. It is not even a shell of what it used to be.
Uh-uh.
But, yeah, that's a perfect example of you go woke, you go broke.
Exactly. I mean, you were talking about a company that's a shell of its former self. Look at what's going on with Sports Illustrated. They decided to go woke. They started having male models pretending to be women. They had these big fat women that were putting them on the covers of the swimsuit edition. And now they're laying off the entire staff.
The entire staff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Mama, forgive me, but my favorite time of the year every year was when the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition came out because I was getting that. I was going to get that, and I was going to page through those pretty women in those bikinis.
And I mean, these were the world's most gorgeous women.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these were big name, top tier models because they had the money for it. They could afford to pay the fees.
I mean, this was Cindy Crawford and Linda
Ireland.
Yes, Linda Evangelista, people like that, you know, the women of my dreams back then. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah. The ones that other girls would look at you and go, yeah, in your dreams.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you ever notice how women that say that don't look as good
exactly. But you know, in the LA Times is looking to lay off a large percentage, if not their whole staff there, because they don't have the LA Times open to be a charity, just like Walgreens is not open to be a charity.
Well, newspapers in general have been taking severe hits because digital. Now, some of them have been successful in switching over to digital as their main base of operation. Because, you know, pulp newspaper material costs a lot of money. Printing costs a lot of money. But they're still all cutting back.
Yeah.
And it's because of a number of things. But woke is a big part of it.
Exactly. I mean, Randy, this is absolute proof that the communist socialist mindset does not work, because It cannot sustain itself. It will implode. It will eat itself. That's why capitalism is the only model that will ever work for America. Y'all have a great week. Bye-bye. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I'm on. I love this land. God bless us. Please bless the USA. Produced by SNS Sound Productions. To take your audio to the next level, contact us on Facebook at SNS Sound Productions. Life's a soundtrack. Let's record it.